This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
With Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0 and as part of our podcast series. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today one of my colleagues, Sarah Gibb. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Roseanne.
Hey, great to have you with us here today. Now, we thought it'd be a great opportunity. We've just recently facilitated a workshop around policies and procedures for not-for-profit organisations, and we actually thought it would be a really good opportunity to take this time to chat around our policies and why it's important to have policies with your organisation and what type of policies to have, and also give you some top tips on how to go about developing some policies or where you can maybe find some policy templates. So
I'm already thinking, Roseanne, that half the audience has left the building.
It's not
the most exciting of topics, is it?
It isn't, but interestingly, it's very important, and it's a vital resource that organisations should have. And depending on the size of the organisation, will depend on the number of policies you have and the type of mahi that you provide, your kaupapa, you know, the different types of policies. Like if you're working with young people, you'd want the child protection policies. You know, we'd hope that every organisation has a health and safety policy at least. And like a financial policy. But we'll go into those in a little bit more detail. So, Sarah, how about you start us off, and why is it important to have policies?
So, you know, for me, I always tend to think in stories. And so for me, the easiest way to explain it is to come up with a scenario where, for example, a simple one, you're part of a committee that looks after a community hall, and one of your committee members decides that they're going to use the hall for their daughter's 21st birthday without paying the fee or letting anyone know, because they've just always done it.
And they've probably got a key.
And they've got the key. And so without a policy, there's nothing to determine whether that's okay or not. But for the rest of the committee, maybe it doesn't suit them, because suddenly they're going to be jointly responsible for an event they know really nothing about and no one's paid anything for. So for me, I like policies because it gives that clarity and determines the rules around how something can be done and why it should be done. So for me, you would have a policy about use of the hall, a hireage. Mm. And that policy could absolutely say that committee members get to use the hall at no cost as a thank you for being volunteers. But the difference is it's unquestionable. It's there. It's a policy that says this is how it can be done. So for me, policy gives me, I guess, reassurance on how we're going to do something, what we can and can't do.
Yeah, and I picked up that word clarity. It's a biggie. And it also, it's like a guideline, isn't it? You know, so that, you know, if something comes up, you can then go to your policy and the procedures and look at the guidelines of, is that something, yes, we can approve or not approve, or what do we need to actually undertake to make sure that we're doing our due diligence and whatever that might be.
I think my favourite is financial management policy, mm-hmm. and that must sound, you know, really boring and tedious for some.
But crucially important.
But it's absolutely the one that's going to help you make decisions, even down to where do we apply for funding? You know, are we an organisation that doesn't want to go to the Class 4 gaming groups, because that involves gambling? If you've got a financial management policy with a section on funding that tells you where you can go for funding or we're not, then, you know, that makes life a whole lot easier. The financial management policy is the one that says, you know, how many people have to authorise bank exchanges, whether you're going to even consider investments, all that kind of thing. Mm. And so for me, it's sort of it's a bit of a protection as well as giving you this is what we will do. It often incorporates what you won't do as well. So, yeah, sitting on a board, I think it makes it a whole lot easier, actually.
And I also think, picking up on what you said about a layer of protection, I think there's a layer of protection for the organisation, but also too for the individuals, especially if you are one of those people that are being approved as like bank signatory to sign off, payments. It just, sort of gives you that authority, I suppose, that yes, that you have been given that position to go through and sign off those payments. And you'll also find in some financial management policies, they may have a level of delegation or authority for, if you have a staff member, like a manager or an admin person, as to what they can sign off, or, you know, if it's around petty cash, those sorts of things, it'll be included in there as well.
Yeah.
And another one is probably around contracts, isn't it? So if you have a management team in place, as to what level of authority do they have for signing off contracts, or, you know, the organisation going into some sort of contract with maybe a government agency, someone like that.
And of course, one we don't like to talk about, but I think is quite important, is the compliments and complaints policy.
Mm-hmm.
So sadly, we're becoming a world where people tend to want to complain about something. And in fact, by having a policy that also includes compliments, you know, we'd actually love to hear compliments as well. It's not so the policy states, you know, why you have the policy and what its purpose might be. But it also outlines the procedures. Mm. So what is the organisation going to do if a complaint is actually received? Because too many of the organisations that you and I work with actually don't know how to handle a complaint. And that's one of the tricky things about policies, is you tend to go looking for one when you need it. Not because you've already written it.
That's true. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah.
Have you got a template for a certain policy because we've got the situation that's come up?
So someone asked me recently, you know, what were the policies I thought every organisation needed to have? And sadly, for me, the compliments and complaints was actually quite high on my list. Because I do think by having a policy, you can sort of nip things in the bud and be able to give a firm response and, you know, follow the policy and procedures that you've got. Quite helpful.
Yeah, one of the situations that we find quite often, isn't it, where an organisation may come to us for some support because they've had maybe a complaint or some dispute they've received, and they've not had a policy, they've not been really too confident on how they should handle it, proceed with it. And maybe rightly or wrongly, maybe just try to sweep it under the carpet and just sort of ignore it a little bit. But as we know, that only just festers it and it makes it worse and worse if it possibly could. So having a policy and the procedures of how to treat that dispute or complaint. And for incorporated societies, you'd all be very well aware of the dispute resolution clause that you now have to have in your constitution to comply with the 2022 Act. And that has a very detailed sort of process on how to treat those complaints or disputes that do come in. So it's still important to make sure that you do have a policy and that that policy is accessible for either the board, you know, board committee members, or for your staff, or if you have like a lead volunteer to have access to make sure that they are well aware of the processes to undertake.
You know, one that we had recently was when someone who was related to the manager wanted to be employed in the same organisation. And so there was going to be a conflict of interest around that employment procedure and whether that person could even be employed. And it was interesting because conflict of interest, we talk about conflict of interest all the time, but it tends to be, I tend to think more about people being contracted to that organisation, not so much the potential for family members to be working together, which of course you don't question in a family business.
No.
You know, but, and so again, you know, a conflict of interest policy that it doesn't need to say whether family members can or can't be, you know, employed. But I think a conflict of interest policy does give you that guidance around, so how do you mitigate potential conflicts of interest, and has you at least think ahead about what some of the policy, some of the sort of difficulties might be in terms of relationship, and even conflict of interest around decision making. And so the word policy, sometimes I think it's deceiving because it's more about, you know, how can you mitigate certain circumstances. But what I've ended up doing, and it came through in that workshop we did, is we sort of came up with the idea of having a particular format or template that we use for each bit of policy writing, so that you're able to front foot it and come up with these ideas before they become an issue, rather than after they've happened.
It's a little bit like, you know, we're sort of going a little bit off track here, but it's also like in relation to having a risk register.
Yeah.
And sort of sitting down, brainstorming all of those potential risks that are out there, and not just around health and safety either. And it's maybe around your financial risk or reputational risk. And then looking at how do you mitigate against that, what sort of controls you put in place. So very similar to in relation to how you treat your various policies and the procedures that you have with those.
One of the things that we found when we were talking to people too is, in terms of writing those policies, we had quite a healthy conversation about whether it's okay to use other people's policies to start with, to then, you know, have a look at them and see whether they fit with your organisation. We did an exercise as well where we used AI to prepare a policy outline. Usual story with AI, it's all about the prompts that you give it to get back what works for you. But we sort of did this exercise where a combination of both. So it was, you know, start with what you might have borrowed from another organisation, add your own flavour to that, then put it into AI, and then sort of check it against, does this measure or state, you know, what you might want. And we were really pleased with what we got out of it. So by doing that, and then also having this sort of one format that we've done, since we did that workshop a couple of weeks ago, I've written three policies for one of the boards that I'm on, and found it to be really quite easy, not bad at all. So you realise that policies are every organisation needs to have them, and so you don't have to start from scratch, but you can still definitely adapt it so that it fits with your organisation.
Yeah. So there's obviously a few tips there for people, is around either, yeah, utilising a policy template that another organisation has developed, and then making sure that it is fit for purpose for your own organisation, and also using AI to support you to develop the bones of the policy, I suppose, and making sure that you are putting the right prompts in to make it, again, fit for purpose and relevant for your organisation. Just out of curiosity, with AI, Is there a particular platform that you what platform did you use when you were going through that exercise in that recent workshop? Do you remember?
Yeah, well, so of course I was doing that workshop with Alan from Wills, and he went through and checked it out with five different platforms, including a couple I'd never heard of before, I must admit. One was Claude. I remember that just because of the name.
Yeah.
But he used Copilot and ChatGPT, etc. I've found that I'm just sticking with ChatGPT, and I think it's just, for me, the language seems to suit me better. Mm-hmm. But I'm not an AI expert by any means. Right now, folks, Roseanne's just giving me a bit of a smirk because she knows that completely. I am not, you know, anything technology, just leave me at the back of the line, which is why I think I was so excited that I've written these three policies and really quite comfortably. But what I wanted to find for you, and whether we can pull it off together, we might remember, is I've ended up coming up with this sort of template that's a six steps around developing a policy. And we have got it here.
We can cheat and well. While you're just looking for that and reading through that, just thought I'd better give a quick shout out to Alan Perry. You've just mentioned Alan. So Alan works for the Waikato Institute for Leadership and Sports Studies and very much a guru on policies. And we're very fortunate that Alan agreed to come along and co-facilitate that workshop with you.
Yeah, we had a really good time. It was a nice group of people as well. But one of the things we got out of it very much, and with the group, was coming up with this framework around creating something that meant that all of the policies that we worked on would look the same. And it definitely helped me when I've been writing these ones just recently to just follow the same approach. Mm. So let me just tell you what they are. Basically, it's to identify the risk, the issue or the risk, check the legal or funder requirements, decide on the principles, in other words, why it's needed, keep it short. Then it needs to be approved at a board level. But what it actually looks like, and this is where I've started doing it and I really like it. So the structure is the purpose, the policy statement, in other words, you know, why do you need it really, the scope, so who is it targeted at, the responsibilities, what are the responsibilities and whose are they, what the procedures are, and then when it needs to be reviewed. And as I say, just since doing that workshop, I've really looked at a few that I've written and rewritten a few. And I'm finding that it's actually coming up quite easily, whereas I think before then I was a bit all over the place. I knew I wanted policies, but yeah, I was scrabbling around a bit. Mm-hmm. So that was a good outcome.
It sounds like a very straightforward sort of process to actually work through, which is great. And we will actually look to put some information up on our website under our resources, which is an area that when we've got time, yes, going to be updating. But we'll look to put some of these resources up there around the types of policies and also maybe the process that you've just outlined now around how to go about developing a policy for your organisation.
And I think deciding when it is a policy or when is it something that you just do because you should. So, you know, don't feel you need to go out and create policies because we've just been talking about it. It's still, you know, is a policy what you need, or is it something that your organisation has always been doing because you always have and it doesn't actually need a policy around it?
Yeah. As we spoke about earlier, I suppose, is why would you have a policy in the first place, and how can that add value to the way you manage or govern your organisation? So, and for some people, it's how many times do we hear people go, if only we had a policy for this, or if only we had a policy for that? So it's probably sitting down and doing that little brainstorm session around, you know, what type of policies, you know, do we need or should we have to make sure it's helping to provide us with that clarity and the guidelines on processes that we need to undertake.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know how we're doing for time here, but...
All good.
Are we?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you then, all right, whether there needs to be a policy or not for this, okay? So...
You're going to give me a scenario, are you?
I'm going to give you a scenario.
Okay, on the hot spot,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep, totally. All expenditure over $1,000 must be approved by two trustees. Does that sit inside a policy?
Yes, because it is providing you with the guidelines on the process to be undertaken.
Yeah.
I know the auditors will be definitely looking to see there is some sort of policy in place around that. And look, that's probably a fairly easy one in the sense that normally most banks, I think all banks, require you to have two signatories to sign off your payments.
Okay. And so this next one, it might use some different language. But what about the admin coordinator enters invoices into zero? Is that a policy or is it a procedure? Or is it just something the organisation does?
I would say that it's a procedure in the sense of potentially the admin person's job description.
Yep.
It may be included in there describing their duties from a financial perspective, that all the accounts will be entered into zero. And then obviously you'll be looking to pull out a report of which accounts need to be paid, you know, on the 20th of the month or whenever it is that you normally pay your
Okay, very good. So that's two out of two. This next one might throw you. At least this is better than a quiz. You know, I hear these quizzes on the radios, and I think that must always be hard.
Mm.
But, okay, staff should try to resolve disagreements respectfully.
It's an interesting one. You know, I take that as a given, that, you know, as part of your values of your organisation, you know, part of that is looking at how we can work well together, and if there is a situation where we're not agreeing on something, it's finding a way to come up with a compromise or a solution to that issue. And if you can't, well, then obviously you would need to escalate it into a management role or a team leader role or to the board role if you require. I don't see it needs to be a policy.
No.
To me, it's just part of the organisation, isn't it?
We had quite a conversation about it because we all agreed, actually, it should just be common sense.
Yeah. Part of your culture, your values.
Right. Yeah. And that's really why I'm saying we still want to think about these things and not feel that we've got to have a policy for absolutely everything, because some things we should just do because we do, because we're kind to each other, not because it needs to be written in a policy.
It's so true, because I think at times we are becoming more risk averse, and so we're hesitating, we're second guessing ourselves, you know, have we done this, have we done that, without it just being second nature, as you say, and common sense to do things. So I think what I'm hearing from that is don't just write a policy because you think you need to write a policy. It's really sit down and go, is this actually needing to be a policy or not?
Yeah.
So I've passed that test, have I?
Yep, totally.
I'm pleased about that. And we've got about 4 minutes to go. So if you've got another one, you feel free to put me in the hot spot or, you know, anything else that you can think of, any other top tips that we can share with our listeners around policies and procedures.
I think for me, the other one is what do you then do with them?
Yes.
And so, you know, how many organisations, sadly, have we worked with who have said, oh, yes, we've got policies. They're in that red ring binder on that shelf over there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they might have been there a long time. I must admit, I was working with a group a few weeks ago on their policies, and the dust was thick on the folder, and they were dated 2014.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think what I'd like to say is I'd rather organisations had fewer policies that they actually all had buy-in to and all knew. So for me, it's, you know, if you're new to a board, then it's part of your induction is to understand policies. If it's a staff member, then, you know, have you got some policies where it actually involves them having doing a signing to show that they've seen it? But I think it's also about living them. So, you know, even if you don't have a scenario that requires actually particularly using that policy, then every so often just doing what we're doing now, just having a conversation and a bit of a laugh over, so actually would a policy suit in this situation, and bringing them off that shelf and living with them. That I think that would be my thing.
Yeah, no, some really great tips there. And obviously you can sort of break the policies up into, like, what are the governance policies, you know, especially around that financial management side, and more operational policies, maybe if you have motor vehicles, you know, definitely having a motor vehicle policy, what you can, can't do, maybe around social media. It might be around IT tools, you know, if you've been provided with a laptop or a mobile phone, those sorts of things. And I know some organisations do have it where when a new staff member comes on board, they're provided a copy of those policies and they actually have to sign that they have actually received and read the policies as well, which is probably good practice to have. So what I'm hearing is that it's not just a matter of even just developing policies, it's making sure you keep them alive. Keep them fresh. How often would you look to review your policies?
For me, it ranges between 1 and 3 years, depending on the policy. But the main thing I've got as chair of two boards is a person on the board who just keeps track of our policy register, which is just wonderful. And she lets us know, you know, when one needs to be re-looked at. But I figure I'd say every board meeting we're having a conversation that involves some kind of policy.
Yep. Yeah. So having a policy register, a list of all your policies, and then having it sort of like, is it this year, next year, or maybe that following year that we need to review them? Yeah. Making sure they're inclusive, so whether that's you've got some sort of online platform where you can access those policies at any time, or whether you've all got a copy of that trusty red ring binder with a copy.
It's funny how everyone uses red, yeah.
Especially for policies, risk registers and policies. Must be something about that colour, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, look, we've only got about 20 seconds to go. Any last minute tips for anyone?
Well, just please ask us if you have any questions about policies, policy writing. Please just contact either Roseanne or I. We're more than happy to help you with it.
All right, and hopefully in the next couple of months we'll have a bit more information up on our website as well. We can download that information that we've just covered. We're out of time now, Sarah. So
okay.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming into the studio with me today.
Always good.
Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.